Well, good afternoon. I'm Bob. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Bob.
Good to be with y'all this afternoon. And I'm going to start with sobriety date, April 26, 1993. I currently have a sponsor. He's been my sponsor since I moved to Richmond in 97. And he's been sober longer than I have. About a week. And that works fine for a mind like mine. Because any problem I was having last week, I've already forgotten. And I got a new deal this week. And so his sobriety has worked out well with mine. And we have the same home group. Meets on Wednesday night. On a little white church in Bonaire, Virginia, which is a southern suburb of Richmond. And some of y'all have come down there and speak for us, and love to give you directions if you get lonely and bored up in on a Wednesday night. Come on down there at 7 o'clock. We'll try and make you feel at home. Glad Billy surprised me last week and called me and asked me to come up here. I better not forget my manners. I'm going to take off my watch so I don't go over. Doing one of the fun things that I do today, which is I was taking care of one of my grandkids, and he's 2 and a half, and when he comes in the house, he has to know where Papa is, and I get up and leave the room. He wants to know where I'm going, and he'll say. And he'll sit down somewhere and wants to do something, he'll go, Papa. He wants me to sit with him and do whatever he's doing and looking at. So we get along real well. But he's developed this new habit sometimes of saying no. And I don't know if you ever had that problem growing up, but it causes me a little concern. But so I hope I can follow the traditions tonight and stick with our singleness of purpose. And I won't get distracted by going too far. And I'm no expert on alcoholism or how to get sober or how to stay sober. I'm educated way beyond my intelligence. And so that means I think I know a lot more than I really know. It's called arrogance. And I have to be careful. And if I step over my toes, y'all just don't pay attention. I'm just another alcoholic that found recovery in AA. My wife, Kate, came with me. And we met in... '77, got married in '79. And so we've known each other for a while. And I think we're getting along better now than we've ever gotten along. But don't ever let me forget that alcoholism is a family disease. I've got a son who's doing real well, but he's got a profession in a correctional institution, takes care of juvenile offenders. And he says, Dad, when the parents come in, you can tell they haven't fallen far from the tree. And so I know it's a family disease. And I think part of the reason that we're still together is that I'm active in AA, she's active in Al-Anon family groups, and that's been helpful. Anyway, why am I an alcoholic? When I was about 10 or 11, my parents decided that they were going to have a little wine with dinner. And poured me a glass. And I remember drinking the wine. Oh yeah, they stopped and said grace over the room. And they hadn't finished grace, and I said, "Can I have some more?" And my response to alcohol has never changed. When I get a drink, I get thirsty. Other problem that I have is I would start drinking with a plan of having two. And two never seemed to be comfortable. I just couldn't, it wasn't enough. So my little plan and design never worked when I started drinking. And I couldn't predict when I was going to stop. And so the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't want to quote it, but it does suggest that I might be alcoholic if I have one or two of those symptoms. Throw in the trouble I get into because of my drinking, the disagreements with people, the unpleasant situations, the lying, the hiding the alcohol. It just comes with the deal. I don't care if you're the butcher, the baker, or the candlestick maker. If you got those kind of symptoms, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Because some of us have found a way not to drink and feel okay out there in the real world. And our life seems to get better. But I didn't know that. Because when I stopped drinking, I thought things got worse. I got nervous, irritable, and discontented. Until I could find a way to have a couple of drinks. The problem is that the ease and comfort of taking a couple of drinks got shorter as the time got long. I didn't get sober until 2 weeks before my 44th birthday. And I was drinking on a regular basis, regular, at least weekly, from 18 on. I'm like the guy that gets an obsession about going to see the Cliffs of Moher. The Cliffs of Moher are in the southwest side of Ireland. And they're beautiful. And they're at the foot of a mountain range that overlooks the Atlantic Ocean. And I'm the type of guy that's reading about it and studying it in magazines and looking at it and saving my money, figuring out a way to get to Ireland to go see the Cliffs of Moher. When I save up enough money to go do it, and I go over to Ireland, and I go over there, and the guy at the place I'm staying says, "So about talk 20 over an hour, 2 kilometers that way." Okay, a mile and a half. And I go, "All right." And I go walking over there, and there's a sign that says private property. Do not cross. Violators will be prosecuted. I've spent years trying to get to go see the Cliffs of Moher. Do you think that sign is going to stop by. I'll walk on past the sign, you know. I know where I'm headed, you know. And then there's another sign, as I can see them at a little distance, maybe 100 yards off. It says, the ground is soft. It may give way. Going further is dangerous. You could fall and injure yourself or even be killed. Do you think that's enough to keep Bob from going to see the cliff some more? Well, that's a lot like the obsession I have with alcohol. I'm going to go over to the edge. And I'm going to get as good a look as I can. And guess what? The ground gives way. And I'm falling. And I'm grabbing. I grab a root. I'm hanging on. And I'm not in the habit of asking for a lot. But I said, God, if there's a God up there, I need some help. And this voice says, let go. You've got to be kidding me. Are you the real God? You must be imaginary. And the voice says, let go. And Bob, let's go. I'm caught by the loving arms of AA and wrapped up in an ice blanket and taken care of. And I'm so grateful that AA was there. Because I got in trouble at work. And you can get in trouble lots of ways. When you're doing it at work, people start to take notice when you're positioned. Coming out of surgery. And they said, we think you've been drinking. No. Okay. I just finished a procedure. I've got to write some orders for the nurses. It's 2 o'clock in the morning now. Got to write some orders for the nurses. I got to dictate my operative note. And because the recovery room's closed, at 2 o'clock in the morning, they recover the patients over in the intensive care unit. I've got to go with my patient over the intensive care unit so I can make sure the nurses understand how to take care of my patient because they're not the usual nurses working in recovery. Well, you know what those officers with the badges and stuff said? Okay. And they let me do that. That patient was in the hand of God. One, because I was any good. Anyway, he was taken care of. And I'm walking past these exit doors, going back to where they told me to go. And for some reason, I don't use it. I was right. I was done. I just did what they told me. While I was still in custody, two guys from AA were sent over to see me, Bill H. and Mike C. Bill was a guy I used to close bars with in my first duty station. We knew how to drink. It was up in Philadelphia where they had lots of bars. And he'd been sober about 7 years. And they bought this guy named Mike. Mike was a department head there in the hospital where I was working. And Mike was the type of guy that staff loved to work for him. got along well with the staff. They were interested in getting Mike what he needed to get done. Some of the bosses would come around and see Mike and ask Mike what he needed to help make his department better, and they listened to Mike because he gave them constructive ideas about how to make the department run better. And the leaders were able to help Mike. So here's a guy, who not been in the Navy long as I have, running a big department with respect of the people below him and the people above him. We call it right-sized. And he sat there and shared his story with me about how he'd gotten in trouble with drinking and how he'd been pointed into AA and had found a way not to drink. And his life changed. And he said, "I'm going to lend you my book. The front of the book's too complicated for you, Bob. Try the stories in the back and see if you can identify with any of them." Boss called me in that day, told me he didn't need me anymore. Put all my stuff in a cardboard box and sent me home. But I had that book. And so I went to book busy reading that book while I detoxed at home. 4 days later, Bill called me up and he said, "I got a place for you to go. Just pack a suitcase for a couple of days and show up." And it was a treatment center. Right there at the hospital where I practice. But he got me a bed. And then I ended up for 28 days. And what I can tell you is they brought, we either went to an AA meeting or they brought a meeting once a week to the treatment center. And I went to AA meetings every day for 28 days. And I didn't know anything about AA. But those people that came in there with a light on and a twinkle in their eye said they got busy in AA. And there were some suggestions that they did to change their life. And they weren't drinking. And their life was getting better. See, that didn't compute. That was illogical for a guy like me. That stopping drinking and my life could get better. Down to my bones, I could tell you that that was not my experience until that time. I had to do something in AA to figure that out and get that deep down in my bones. And I haven't quit going to AA ever since I got out of that treatment center. I don't want to go through my first year of sobriety again. I just don't. That's a good enough reason for me to try AA. It'd be about 6 months before I could get a sponsor that stuck. He was the third guy I asked, I think, maybe fourth. The other guys I asked ran the other way. I was that crazy. But my new sponsor said, "Bob, it'll be okay. You just come to the meeting and sit. you'll find that you'll be able to hear a lot better if you're not running your mouth. And you'll be able to pray if you can sit still. I didn't understand any of that, but I had to try. I had to try. They did some tests while I was in that treatment center, and my liver was sick. And it'd be 6 months to 7 months before my liver started to get better. And the internist they sent me to was a very kind doctor and very smart. He suggested reading some of the other big books, particularly Psalms. But he wasn't an alcoholic and he didn't understand what I had. And I got to admit that even though I have reread some of the Psalms, it didn't touch me the way the big book did of Alcoholics Anonymous. There was something they were talking about alcoholism. I knew they had written down some things that meant something. So I would get a home group, and this guy asked to sponsor me, was a retired Marine gunnery sergeant. Yeah. And he wasn't strict, he was very kind. But he said, Bob, it's time for you to step up and take some service. He said, you got to make some coffee and chair the meeting for a month. And then the chair would go make the coffee and set up the room and get ready for people. And he said, you have to show up an hour early. I said, oh, just like the guys tonight showed up an hour early to make coffee. I saw that behavior going on. They must have had a gunner sergeant too. Don't know what to do. And I knew that I'd be smart enough to make coffee, right? But then I'd get this fear deep down that I'd make it wrong and nobody would want it and I'd kill the meat. You know, that's alkalogic, but that's the way I was thinking. And so he broke down the solution real simple for Bob. He said, Bob, believe it or not, the people that packaged that coffee put the directions on the side of the container. Here are the directions on how to make the coffee. Do that, and you're not going to have any problems. And so he proceeded to show me how to follow the directions. He didn't say just read it. He showed me how to follow the directions on the side of the container. See, that's the kind of sponsor I know. I can read it and can figure out my own way to solve the issue. But if I see somebody doing it, my eyes will believe it. And then I'll know it works. And he was willing to show me. He gave me many examples in the way of suggestions. And after 4 years, I was able to come home and help my mother. My father was dying of cancer, and she asked me to come home. And I had 22 years on active duty, and so I could put in my papers and retire. And that's what I did. And we moved to Richmond, and we lived in the same house since we moved back in 97. moved about a mile from my parents. And anyway, a guy like me got more than I deserve. Because I kept going to AA, because I got a new sponsor and did the steps out of the big book, my life started to change. Called me to conferences and did all kinds of stuff. Met a bunch of people from up here that would drive down to a meeting we were going to county, several counties south of him on a weekly basis. And seeing each other grow up, doing this process we call AA. Built wonderful, wonderful relationships that we could call each other on a moment's notice. If we see somebody we can help with their experience, they greatly give it. Sure. Host of friends we don't want you to miss. Excuse me. Had another experience. I'm going to explain to you another analogy. And had never had a relationship with a higher power before I got to AA. I'd gone through the motions. And I'd go to church regularly. Those people were different than me. I didn't understand I was going on Sundays just to meet an obligation. I didn't understand there was more to it than that. And there's a spiritual lady that wrote a thesis one time that talked about what happens when we do what Dr. Silkworth suggests at the end of his chapter, which is remain to pray in AA. I had to learn how to pray. So my first sponsor, that gunnery sergeant, said, Bob, you have to sit still and be quiet. And we did that when we started the meeting tonight, didn't we? We asked for a moment of silence. Obviously, there are lots of people that begin prayer that way. And it works for them. Or they wouldn't suggest it. Or maybe we wouldn't start our meetings that way. But we do. And the fruit of silence is prayer. And so, what did we do when we started the meeting? We followed that period of silence with a prayer. And we do that, and we're going to AA, and we're taking suggestions from people that are ahead of us. And you know what grows out of prayer? Faith is it's a power out there that can relieve me of the session to drink because I see it in their lives. And this is what they are doing. And the fruit of faith is love. And we talk about it all the time. We talk about love and service. NAA, whenever they talk about the traditions and getting a group together to start a meeting or develop a home group, they're talking about taking care of the next person with the obsession of alcohol like I've had, and let them know that they don't ever have to live that way again. And they don't have to do it alone. Because faith gives them that answer. When we see it right in front of us, love and service becomes a response of that faith. And here's the whopper. I love home runs. Love and service. The fruit of love and service is peace. And that's certainly been my experience in AA. And when I get a feeling like that, I'm sorry, I still like good feelings. I'm interested in finding more. I'm going to end this deal by giving another analogy, you know, because my sponsor took me through the steps, you know. Y'all have heard the steps a bunch of times. And if you aren't familiar with the steps and you're new, find somebody that has. My gosh, before you ask them to be your sponsor, ask them if they've done the steps. What else is a sponsor supposed to do but to help you do the steps? They want anything else. That wouldn't have worked for Bob. But it doesn't mean I wasn't willing to do a lot of stuff in AA. My perspective on life certainly has changed because I've done this stuff. See, I get here, and I'm the type of guy that can't stop drinking. I mean, I like trying to make deals with God. What if the jackpot is big enough, I have to quit making deals. So my God has said, Bob, I'll help you keep sober. But that job you got can't be your real job anymore. You've done the stuff. Your job is going to be making yourself available to help other alcoholics. Well, if I don't have a job, how am I going to pay for gas to go to my meetings? And my God says, you got a car? Hand me your key. God, if I can't get to work and I don't have a car, how am I going to pay the mortgage on my house? He said, oh, you've got real estate. I'll take that too. God, I'm going to empty my bank accounts real fast. Oh, you got money. I'll take all that. What kind of deal am I in? God tells me, he said, Bob, You got to keep on this path. Ask for my help every day. And I'll show you what to do next. And I'll make sure that you have what you need to take care of my kids. But you got to ask for it every day. I'm going to give you a lot more than you need. Because I like giving gifts, my God tells me. But you still got to ask for it every day. And when that alcoholic needs help, you got to ask him, God, help me. Since I've been able to open my home, I've been able to share my car. I've been able to take off and do things I need from work because I was in a position to be able to do that. That money isn't mine in the bank. Besides, I can't take it with me wherever I go after I die. It's not mine. It's going to be gone anyway. So God has blessed me. It wasn't because I was any good. My life changed because I was doing AA. My job got better. I had a bunch of doctors come work with me in a clinic I was working at. Oh, the state called me up there and monitored me for a bunch of times and took care of me and made sure I kept my license. I explained all those kind of rules and going up to see the man and getting things straight. It all works out. So I was able to retire successfully with a handful of doctors working with me. And then put me in charge of the clinic. You can't get there from where I was on my own. Doesn't happen. God found a way to put me to work. Anyway, that's all I got tonight. And it's great to be with you. Thanks for letting me share.